The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel reading today marks something of a turning point, both in the Gospel of Matthew and in the church year. Since back at the beginning of Advent, on the last Sunday in November, the baptizer has been a recurring figure in the appointed Gospels. John's preaching and baptizing and testimony concerning Jesus have been included in the Gospel readings more than half of those Sundays since the liturgical year began. Now that comes to an end. Today's reading also marks a shift in focus in Matthew's Gospel. All of the introductory matter concerning Jesus' ancestry, his birth, the Magi, the flight to Egypt, and then the return to Nazareth are all behind us. Jesus' baptism and anointing with the Holy Spirit has occurred. The baptizer, John, now fades from the scene, and Jesus takes center stage. In our text this morning, Matthew introduces Jesus' ministry of preaching and healing, his work to inaugurate the reign of heaven, which would finally lead him to Calvary and would be finished, accomplished by him on a cross. Already, a shadow of that cross can be seen in John's arrest and in Jesus' withdrawal to the north into Galilee. The arrest of the forerunner sent by God for speaking the truth foreshadows what will happen to the one who is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus withdrew because his time had not yet come. But the time would come when he too would face arrest and unjust execution for the sake of the kingdom. And yet Jesus' withdrawal to the north was not simply a strategic retreat for a time. It was part of God's plan for the one whom he had sent to save his people from their sins. By living and ministering on the Sea of Galilee's shore, Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. There, at that distant north border of Israel, where God's people were mingled with the ungodly nations, the day of grace was dawning for all. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God was beginning to shine forth in the face of Jesus Christ. In his ministry, by his preaching and miracles, Jesus was rolling back the darkness where sin ruled, shedding light where the shadow of death held sway. By going to Galilee, by establishing Capernaum as his home base, the reality that Jesus had come not just for the lost sheep of the house of Israel was being revealed. We heard it in last week's reading from Isaiah. The Lord said, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." The message Jesus proclaims is familiar. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Turn from your sin, for heaven's reign is breaking in. This is the very message John had proclaimed. Repent. Believe the gospel, the good news that God is fulfilling his promises, accomplishing salvation, defeating Satan and death and hell, rolling back the results of sin, bringing wholeness and peace and life. We know that John was a fiery preacher of the law. And as we'll hear from Matthew 5, Jesus didn't pull any punches either. When he preached repent, he was talking about real sins being committed by the people who were gathered there in front of him. "You are murderers," he said, "because you've been angry at others. You're adulterers," he told them, "because you've looked at another with lust in your heart. You've broken the second commandment, misusing God's holy name by swearing unnecessarily." When Jesus called for repentance, there was no one who was exempt from that call. What he said cut people to the heart. They knew that he was right, knew that they were sinners. When you listen to Jesus preaching, you know that you are as well. You have sinned against God by what you have done and by all of those things you failed to do. You've sinned against God by not loving him above all things. You've sinned against God by not loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus would have you and me recognize that we daily sin much and truly deserve nothing from God but his punishment, both here in time and then for all eternity. But thankfully, this isn't all that Jesus preached. He did call for repentance, to be sure, but he also declared the arrival of God's kingdom, of his gracious reign. He proclaimed that forgiveness, full and free forgiveness, is available to everyone through the mercy and grace of God. Jesus did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so in his person and in his work, Jesus was ushering in the gracious rule of God in the hearts of sinners, a rule and reign he establishes in all who hear his promises of mercy and forgiveness and life and trust them. Matthew's brief account of the call of the four fishermen, the two pairs of brothers, Simon and Andrew, and James and John, to be fishers of men, seems abrupt and curious here. The text would flow quite smoothly if it were left out. What these brothers thought Jesus meant, what they thought was in store for them, we can only imagine. We know that they didn't know, because even as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven 3 years later, his disciples were still confused concerning his kingdom. Whatever it was they were thinking that day, at Jesus' call, they immediately dropped what they were doing and left their families behind to follow Jesus. And that perhaps is why Matthew reports the call of these disciples here, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Between programmatic reports of Jesus reaching out also to Gentiles. In a way, including it here foreshadows the end of this gospel. Then Jesus would commission and send out the 12 to carry on his work by making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to cling as if their life depended on it, to everything Jesus had taught them. For now, these disciples would listen and learn as Jesus taught and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. But this learning was with a purpose, for the day would come when they would be speaking of all that they had seen and heard. And through their testimony, the Spirit would make disciples in every nation. So with Simon and Andrew and James and John in tow, Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Further, Matthew reports, Jesus' fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. In other words, in Jesus' ministry, Gentiles, heathen peoples dwelling in deep darkness, we're beginning to see the light of God's love, along with those Jewish residents of Galilee and Judea. Jesus was invading the kingdom of this world, where Satan ruled through sin and sickness and death, bringing righteousness through the forgiveness of sins, along with health and life. He didn't leave people in the dark. He didn't leave them to suffer the wages of their sin. With miracles of healing, he reversed the physical effects of sin. And with words of promise, he created the faith that received forgiveness and new life. And what Jesus did then, he is still doing today. Physical healing comes most often through what we call the miracles of modern medicine, provided by God through those whom he has gifted with wisdom and skilled to provide cures and healing. Forgiveness comes, as it did then, as the promises he speaks in his word produce faith. Though your sins are like scarlet, he says, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Fear not, he directs, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Jesus speaks to you personally in the words of absolution. I forgive you all your sins. And at his word, you have forgiveness. In the Holy Supper, he gives you his body and blood. For you, he says, for the forgiveness of all your sins. The fruit of his perfect life and innocent suffering and death, he provides by his word and in his sacraments, so that believing, you may be his own and live with him even now in his kingdom and serve him finally in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. For Jesus shed his blood to pay for your sins. He gave his life that you might live because he was raised again. You can be certain that his work was sufficient. Your debt has been paid. Satan has been defeated. There is therefore now no longer any condemnation for you through Christ Jesus, your Savior. This is most certainly true. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.